You may be seated. Celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ. Put your hands together for him. You can do much better. Celebrate your Maker. Celebrate your Savior. Celebrate your Redeemer. Celebrate the pillar that owns your life. Celebrate your Provider. Celebrate your Comforter. Celebrate the one that matters most to you. Celebrate your Anchor. Celebrate your ransom. Celebrate the owner of your life. Celebrate the one in whom you live, you have your being. He's a loving Father. Celebrate him one more time. Give him all the glory. Praise God. Celebration will continue in your lives in the name of Jesus Christ. You are welcome once again to this glorious service of the Lord. And as you have come this day, you will not regret your coming to his presence in the name of Jesus Christ. And today will be a reference point in your life in the name of Jesus Christ. Nobody meets with the Lord and remains the same. Nobody. By today's service, whatsoever that must have been believing God for, whether it is a revelation, whether it is any breakthrough or healing, the Lord will answer your prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. So without wasting much time, we want to continue our Sunday school. We want to continue the topic we started about 2 weeks ago now. Today is the third part. And I'm praying that by his grace, that the Lord will help us to achieve the purpose of this teaching in the name of Jesus Christ. From the congregation, can somebody remind us the topic we've been looking at the past 2 weeks now in our Sunday school? Let me give our mommy.
Process of salvation.
God bless you, ma. Please put your hands together for her. Understanding the process of salvation. That's what we've been looking at. And we are the whole essence, the aims of this process of salvation is to achieve, to have a better relationship with God, with our brethren, to know the expectation of God from us, and to know the point at which we are saved, and to also know the danger of assuming salvation. So without not wasting much time, we have looked at the key terms that will enable us to understand this process of salvation. The four terms they were itemized, we've been able to look at 2.5 out of the four. Adoption, redemption, predestination, and eternal security. We have exhausted adoption. For us to understand redemption properly, we look at predestination last week. How many of us were here last week that you were in the class when we were, God bless you. We have looked at predestination. Thank God for that grace. And we're able to exhaust predestination, that your salvation was already, you were already chosen for salvation even before you began your journey. That you have been destined, your end has been concluded as far as your salvation is concerned before you began your journey. That today that you make Jesus your Lord as your Lord and Savior, it is not the beginning of your journey of your salvation. We're able to let us know that it was because your name was in the book of life. That was why you were able to accept salvation. Because you were chosen for it. That you were elected before you were ever formed. And something God knew about you. He knew the choices you will make. When salvation is presented to you, and on the basis of that choice, your name was written in the book of life, and eventually you surrendered your life to Jesus when salvation was presented to you. We've exhausted that. And without predestination, because that is what makes you to be qualified for redemption, because you were chosen. We've exhausted all this. So let's move to redemption. But without predestination, we cannot understand redemption. Because we say redemption is a process by which you recover ownership of something. Now, something that was originally yours, you lost it. The process of getting it back is what we call redemption. So it is predestination that enables you to know how you were originally God's. How you were originally, or you originally belonged to God. It is predestination that enables you to know that. That you were with him, but because you are of him, that you were not just adopted, you began with him. As in, you were part of him. You were with God. But something happened, you were separated, and you needed redemption. And we said for us to understand properly redemption, because as a believer, if you get a proper understanding of your redemption, that what God did to redeem us from that fellowship, from that relationship that we are separated from, that if you can get a proper understanding of it, brethren, the whole Christianity becomes very easy. If you know what God did to bring you back into relationship that was lost through sin by our first father, Adam, if you can get understanding of it and you understand what the redemption has achieved for you, Christianity becomes very sweet. And that is why, to understand it, we have to look at the type of it in the Old Testament to get the proper understanding. And we began it last week. And that is the book of Ruth. If you understood the book of Ruth, not just as a story. Okay, by way of just finding, how many of us, since we began that book of Ruth, that this last week, that you went to home and you took your time to study the book of Ruth? How many of us? Oh, God bless you. The book of Ruth is very, very, if you study it and you understand the key things or the essence of that book, everything we are talking about here is very simple. I was thinking, because I made mention of it, and I was trying to paraphrase, I was thinking we will go home and study it very well. Because understanding your redemption is so pivotal, is so key to your Christianity. And I started the book. So, the next slide. The book of redemption, the book of Ruth, helps us to understand how God brought about our redemption. So let's look at it. Open to the book of Ruth. I've been able, because I have started it last week. So let me just paraphrase the story. Ruth, the book of Ruth, chapter 1. Say, now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. Who are the character here? A certain man. Where is he? He said, Bethlehem, Judah. He left there to go. Every word, every key word here is very significant. He did not go to Egypt. He did not go to Samaria. He went to where? Moab. Now let's look at the comparison. A certain man, he's a Jew. He was in the Bethlehem. Now look at it, a man and woman. This is the story of man. I said, if you understand the book of Ruth, you will understand the redemption, how God brought about the redemption of man. Look at man that God created in Genesis. He put it in Eden. Eden signifies what? The presence of God. And Bethlehem, where the certain man was also what? Means the presence of God. In fact, Bethlehem, the house of bread, because the presence of God, all that you need is provided. See the comparison. Eden, the presence of God. Bethlehem, Judah, the presence of God, the house of bread. Now listen. Man was put in the Garden of Eden in the presence of God. Everything that man needed has been provided for. Now, the temptation, while he was in the presence of God, conditions to his existence were given. If you read Genesis chapter 2, verse 8, 9, and God told them, this is the tree of life, this is the tree of the knowledge of evil and good, and the tree for food. And he gave them a condition, just one law, that the day you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he said, that day you shall die. Look at the condition given to them. Okay. The man, Elimelech, and his wife, Naomi, they were in Bethlehem, Judah, the presence of God. A time came, there was famine. Temptation came. The same way serpent came under the influence of Satan, temptation came to Adam and Eve. Please pay attention. If you capture this, it will be very, very, you will understand the essence of Christianity. It will definitely affect your relationship with God and brethren. Even the way you relate to things when they mention devil. Let's follow. Now, temptation came. Devil came, inspiring serpent that they should disobey. Now, God said, what did God tell you? Like, did God say, in the days you eat the fruit of this will happen? He said, it make them to believe, to disbelieve the word of God. The same way God has given them inheritance in the land of Judah. They went to the men there. The famine came, and instead of enduring that temptation, what happened? That is, look at the comparison. Follow. They disobeyed God. They fell. And the famine came. And look at, it said Moab. Moab is significant. You know the story of the Jews. As we're coming back from Egypt, you know the role that Moab played. You know God has, they have always been the enemies. And you know God actually told them to beware of their way. Of all the places they are supposed to even go to, even when there was famine, Moab should not be there. Now, it was a temptation. What happened? They fell into that temptation. And what happened? Verse 4. I mean, the next point, 4, said they fell. They went. Point 5. They were, because they fell into that temptation, what happened? They were what? They were cast away from the presence of God. Because they could not endure the temptation of famine, they left into the camp of the enemies. And immediately man left the presence. What happened? I want you to pay attention to this point. I want you to pay attention. Say, all the glory that man had. Remember in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, God gave the earth to man. To what? To dominate, to rule, to replenish. He was given this earth to have dominion over it. And what happened? I want somebody to open to Genesis chapter 3, verse 10. Pay attention to this. So that you will know what was taken from you. If you know what you are robbed of, you know what was removed from you. If you have the proper understanding, and then you know the provision that has been made to get that thing that was removed from you back, then you will be better prepared to pursue the provision. Look at this statement. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid. Pay attention to the last statement. Because I was naked. Many a time we think, if you look at it, you think it is a physical nakedness. But it is deeper than this. It is not about the physical nakedness. All that pertains to the glory was removed. It became what? Naked. What are the things? It's a man that was created in the image of God, in his likeness. The nature of God he was created with. What was that nature? It was a man created. God is love. His identity, his nature is to be what? To be loving. He had no nature. He had nothing to do with anything opposite. God is love, he supposed. As soon as he fell to that sin, that nature was what? Was removed. I want to emphasize this so that you will know what was removed from you. Then, and you are told that the provision has been made to restore you back to your originality. You will be better prepared to pursue it. Please follow. He was naked. Naked of all. Naked of everything that is supposed to make you to subdue, to replenish, to be in charge of this world, this earth that will be given to him. The nature of God was removed from him. Say, and his likeness. Adam that could just, at any time, would just look at heaven, see what is happening. Look at earth. He could be able to intermingle with heaven and earth. Immediately it happened. It was cut off. Today, if you want to know what is happening in the heaven, don't you run after the prophets? It was not so to Adam. He just said, Papa God, how far? He could relate with both realms. That was the condition, the realm he was. He was naked. I'm still emphasizing nakedness. It's not about physical nakedness. Everything that he was ordained for, everything that had been bestowed upon him to fulfill his mandate, to take charge of this earth, was dispossessed of him. So that you can get a true picture of what? You know Jesus Christ. Look at his experience in 3.5 years. Was there any condition that befell Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ was overwhelmed? Please, was there any situation that Jesus Christ was encountered with and he was thinking, what will I do? Cripples came. What happened? Lepers came. Even when he wanted to move and there was water, what happened? What happened? He walked on water. This is the nature of the man that was you and I. That was the class, the realm we are supposed to operate. Somebody died in the family. He came to the tomb of Lazarus. He said they were weeping. And he came there. What happened? That is the extent. That was the class, the realm we are supposed to function. For you to see the image that you were created before. And that was why God has to come in Jesus to see. See the image that I intended you for until your Papa Adam brought you to this estate. It was never confounded. But all that could make you to function in that realm was robbed of him. Praise God. You need to know this so that you will see when you have come now to Christianity, you should know what to pursue. Whether it is just mundane things on how can be comfortable or to pursue things that will make you to fulfill. Because there is an expectation. There is a purpose for the man. It's to subdue. It's to dominate. It's to rule. You will not be contented with mundane things, the cars, or to give birth. No, far, far, far beyond that. It was because of the fall that made us to only be pursuing mundane things. But we thank God for redemption. Somebody shout hallelujah. Thank God for redemption. I said thank God for redemption. Hope was not lost. Now look at it to the story of Ruth. We are comparing it. That Ruth chapter 1 verse 21. After they have gone, can you see how God prepared the redemption even before the foundation of the world. The story of this truth makes it clear. Now, after they have gone to their enemy, the Moab, all these things, going to Moab is significant. It is a place that they are not supposed to go. The Adam and Eve are not supposed to listen to another voice. They have been commanded. The day you did this, you shall die. And yet, how could somebody be in the presence of God where there is food and everything, and he had a little famine, and he would go to the camp of enemy? You know, all these were put there to achieve a purpose. Praise the Lord. Now, look at this scripture and compare it to when Adam said, I was naked. He said, I went out. It is after, you know, it's a story that I expect we must have read. The family went, because of the famine, they went to Moab. While they were there, their husband died. The two children they went with, they already married. They married to Orpah and Ruth. When the husband died, shortly after, what happened? The two son-in-laws, what happened to them? They died. And shortly after, he heard that God has remembered Bethlehem. The food that he said was not enough, that made him, just to know that it was just a temptation to see if they will know, they'll be able to keep the word of God. Praise the Lord. No, that statement, he said, I was full. You know that this thing is talking about man. Man was completely, the only thing that man lacked when he was created was eternal life. That tree of life. Look at it, he said, I went out full. The glory, everything. When he was still in the presence of God, he was full. Now he left. See as he was coming back. He said, we will always blame God for everything. Is it God that made him to go to Moab? He said, I went out full and the Lord has brought me home again. Was it God that made her to come home empty? Was it God that said you should go to Moab? The same way that Adam was blaming Eve. He said, why then call ye me now, seeing the Lord has testified against me and Almighty God? Are we seeing the comparison? Are we seeing it? Now, he was robbed off. Man had been cut short of that glory. That is why Romans 3:23 said, all have sinned, I have fallen short. The glory has been taken. A man could not fulfill that purpose for which he's created. And there is need for what? Redemption. I want somebody to begin to think deeply. To think. So this is how I was supposed to function before sin came. I want you to begin to be thinking about this, so that you know Christianity is not just about just coming to church, clap hands, sing petals, and it's much more. See, if that man has not fallen, there will be no need for salvation. No, the whole essence of what we are talking about salvation, is to just restore that man to his originality. If Eve has not listened to serpents and they have not done what God was commanded them against, they will have partaken that tree of life and they will have lived forever. And there wouldn't have been any sicknesses, no death, no torment, no pain, no crying. We'll just be enjoying our life. But God allowed it for a purpose. That one is for another day. Praise the Lord. Now, man needed redemption. There is need for man to be able to fulfill that God-given assignment, that God-given mandate that he should rule. The man, the purpose of God for man cannot be defeated. What happened? The glory had been taken. It's because of he was robbed off. That was what necessitated what? Redemption. So see how it played out. So every Jew, when they conquer, when they go to their promised land, God has given them inheritance. Every family have been allotted the land. But God gave them laws for redemption so that every family will continue to have the inheritance. The land, for any reason, you can sell it, but you are not permanently selling it. If you sell it for any reason, that land must be redeemed and get back to the family. Now, by the time Naomi will get back to Bethlehem, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. By the time we will get back to Bethlehem, what happened? That land, the right to the land. He has lost it. Even though you see the family, because the husband is gone. The two son-in-laws, they are what? They are gone. The right to the inheritance. That was why you could see devil coming boldly before Jesus Christ. I said, it was delivered to me. He came, he said it was delivered. It wasn't delivered to him. It was, he's just acting illegally. Illegal occupant is the one ruling now. But for a short time. Somebody say for a short time. So, Naomi has lost the right, and that land has to be redeemed. And there are conditions for that redemption. And all those conditions is what God fulfilled to redeem you and I. Praise the Lord. The land needs to be redeemed. You need to pay for that land. And there are conditions for the payment. According to the definition of redemption, that land belonged to the family. For what reason now? The death of those children and the husband has made her to lose the right to it. So, it needs to be redeemed. And for that land to be redeemed, it must be by what? A closest family member that we call a kinsman. So let's read the book of Ruth, chapter 4. If we read chapter 1, chapter 2, they are back home now. Ruth came back with Orpah stayed back. And they came at the time of harvest. They were harvesting, I think, wheat. And they went to the field when harvest was going on. You know, God has given them instruction that when you are doing your harvesting, don't affect everything completely so that the poor among them can have food. It was the leftover that Boaz's servants were harvesting that Ruth went to harvest, to pack, that made Boaz to see Ruth. And he explained to her how she came about. And immediately, Boaz actually like Ruth. But even the instruction that Naomi has given to Ruth, that he should ask Boaz to redeem her. But Boaz knows the law that for her to be redeemed, redemption has to come firstly by who? By the closest member. By the closest member of the family. So let's now begin from chapter 4. I believe from chapter 1 to this chapter 4, you must have read it. But even though you have not read it, with this, the paraphrase I just gave now, you should be able to have the understanding. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We are discussing redemption. Redemption. The whole process of God restoring what we lost in the Garden of Eden. He said, then when Boaz up to the gate, I have told you why it has to be the gate, why Jesus Christ had to die at Golgotha by the city gate of Jerusalem. Every statement you are seeing here is significant to the role that Jesus Christ played in our redemption. So, Boaz went Boaz up to the gate and sat him down where? There. And behold, the king's man. This is the man that is supposed to redeem Naomi, to redeem the land. Behold, the king's man of whom Boaz spake, he has discussed with Ruth, that I am not in the position to redeem you. I am not. But I will talk to the man who is qualified first to redeem you. He said, behold, the king's man of whom Boaz spake came by, and unto whom he said, oh, no name. Oh, means my friend. No name given to him. Maybe because the role, you know, the helplessness of man. Because it's representing man here. We'll get to know that later. Such one said, turn aside, sit down. And he turned aside and sat down. Verse 2. And he took 10 men. Why must he take 10 men? Because there must be witnesses. The same way when Jesus Christ was going to pay the price, did he pay the price in the secret? He said the chief priests, the pilot, all of them, witnesses were there. Took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, sit down here And they sat. Verse 3. And he said unto the kinsman, send Naomi that is come again out of the country of Moab, sell it a parcel of land. The land, he needs to, selling him, need want to redeem that land. Which was our brother's Elimelech. It's late now. The right is gone. It must be redeemed. And I thought it to advertise this. Advertise this. I need to bring it to your notice. Buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of the people. If thou will redeem it. Now, listen here. Redeem it. But if thou will not redeem it, then tell me that I may know, for there is none to redeem it beside thee. Man must what? Redeem man. It must be by kinsman. What happened? Say, I am after thee. The person that is supposed to redeem that land must be, oh. See what happened. Verse 5. Then said Boaz, what day thou, see the condition. If it is to just buy that land, that is the condition. Man must have, oh, will have been able to redeem it. See the other condition. And this other condition is so important for the redemption of man to be complete. It's so important because if he, okay, let's read it before I explain. Say, then said Boaz, what day thou buyest the field of the land of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to do what? To raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. The Elimelech, that name is already gone. Because if Naomi dies tomorrow, the same way that man has lost identity, man was already in helpless condition, nothing to write home anymore. Devil has taken charge under the captivity of sin and Satan. Now, if he buys the land, he said to raise name, to have somebody in that family that will have right to the inheritance. But there must be a male child. The right to that, to the inheritance, is always to the male child. So if he buys the land without money root, the redemption is not what? Complete. Praise the Lord. If he buys that land without money root, it's not complete. Are you with me? Because he is to raise a name. It's for the man to be able to fulfill his God-given mandate that have been taken away from him. Praise the Lord. Let's read on. Look at it. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself. In the previous verse, he said, please take it to that. He said, I will. Take it to the verse 5. Said then, okay, verse 4, where he said, I will redeem it. Okay, he said, and after the, and he said, I will redeem it. We said a loss or the condition for redemption, you must be related. Oh, it's related to the man. You must be willing. Look at the statement he made when he saw the conditions, when he saw what he wanted to redeem. He had not seen the total package. All the price that he will pay to get that land free. He has not seen all. He said, I will. So he was willing. The same way every man, when you say, come and die for the sin of man, we say, I will. But when the picture is shown, even Jesus Christ, the divine person, when he saw the wrath of God for the penalty for that sin to be paid for, He almost said, I don't want to do it again. And he said, not my will. He said what? Not my will. When he saw the wrath of God for that judgment, the judgment of that sin that they committed, he almost backed out. But he also saw. He saw you and I. That if only I can go through this, the destiny, the glory that you and I have been robbed of will be restored. It was on that basis. He said, not my will, but your will. I will go through it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So willingness is not enough. Willingness is not enough. All was willing. But what happened? When they told him, now let's go to that verse. When they told him, see the total package, the penalty you will pay, the price you will pay for this land to be redeemed and for Naomi to have relevance again. See, and this king man said, I cannot redeem it for myself. It was at this, it was because of this statement, that statement in Revelation, when the elders, Revelation chapter 5, I said it last week, Revelation chapter 5, verse 3, when they say they look from heaven, they look down, look at the helplessness of man. The man has been cut short. The man can no longer fulfill the assignment we have given to him to subdue, to replenish, to dominate. Look at the way he's running from witches and wizards. Look at the way sicknesses, diseases are tormenting him. Things that he's supposed to exercise dominion over. Was Jesus Christ sick? Was Jesus Christ ever sick? I pray God will grant us understanding of this. When you get the import of what was robbed of you, and you know the revelation of the provision that has been made, your Christianity will assume another dimension. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now look at it. Let's read on. Say, and no man in heaven, you can't catch the revelation of this and somebody will be motivating you to serve Jesus. Nobody will be trying to talk to you, do this for Jesus, do this for this. Even they want to build a building in the church, or they want to do anything for the name of the Lord. You cannot understand this scripture. And even if it is your last penny, you will empty it. If you cash what your redemption cost God, Christianity will be sweeter. He said, and no man in heaven. Look at what statement that old made. He said, I cannot. When he saw what he will pay to redeem that land. No man in heaven, nor in earth, neither on the earth was able to open the book, neither to look there. It is in the book that the redemption of man is. No man. And that is the reason why. That is the reason why. No man was qualified. All were in bondage of the sin. All were in bondage. All have sinned and fall short. And a man must redeem man. Who else? Who else can go? Man must redeem man. You can see. Boaz has made it clear. I cannot redeem you. I'm not your closest kinsman. And the man to redeem is not. He said, I cannot. Look at his recent giving. Verse 6 of that Ruth, chapter 4, verse 6. He said, look at his reason. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself. Lest I endanger. I put my own life. I put everything about me into jeopardy. Into danger. He said, lest I man my own inheritance. So, in essence, man was unable. It is at this helplessness of man that mercy of God came down. If you are following, you should be clapping by now. If you are following, you should be clapping by now. If the picture is not yet done on you, if the picture is not yet done, you understood. I said everything that Jesus Christ, our Savior, experienced, his lifetime for those 3.5 years, was supposed to be your life if sin has not come. And that sin cut us from that glory. Now, see what God, when God looked down, he was not qualified. What will I do? God, who is the Spirit? Read Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 to 16. It's a spirit. A spirit cannot redeem man. It must be my man. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 to 16. For God to be able, spirit has to become man. He said, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. We were under him. He was doing all what he could do. He was doing point and kill. He was reigning over us. Verse 15. And deliver. Somebody shout deliver. Deliver them who through fear of death were all their lives are subjected to bondage. Verse 16. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels. Angels cannot redeem man. Angels cannot redeem man. What did he do? But he took on him the seed of Abraham. And who is he? Who is he? Who is he? He came. He came to come and rescue. The day I called it, that is why when I'm worshiping God, I call it my ransom. My what? My ransom. My what? My ransom. Please come. Come, brother, come. Please come. Look at what played out. Maybe this picture will be clear to you. This is a man. Both of you kidnap him and bind him. Kidnap this man. This is Satan. Both of them are the agent. Kidnap. Hold him tight. Both of you. Kidnap this man. Hold him very well. Without any freedom. Hold him very well. Kneel down in their midst. As if you are helpless. Hold him. One person. You are representing man. Yes, let him. Hold him as if you want to strangle him and kill him completely. Now, I am. This man, no person can come and pay for his release. No person. Nobody was qualified. And I came. I'm representing a type of Jesus Christ. What do I need to do to make sure that this man is free from this bondage? I said, name your price. And they said, for this man to be free, they said, it will cost me my life. They said, it will make me, as if I'm ready to die for him, then he will be free and go and fulfill his destiny. I said, is that all? They said, yes. I said, okay, take my life. Take my life. Then they released him. If this man, my life is a ransom, this man now has understood that what I did, he understood it, he saw it. Do you think this man will ever betray me? Do you think he will not remain loyal? That is why this picture must be clear. To know what your redemption, your freedom cost God. Hope you know. He said, name your price. I am ready to pay for it. And they said, it is my life. I said, and I said, okay, I'm ready to offer it. Let's read it. Thank you very much. You can go. Now let's, that book of Ruth, see where you see the conclusion. The conclusion. Now see, that book of Ruth, that is a statement that will make you know that all the redemption plan before the foundation of the world, God concluded it. He concludes because Jesus Christ was slain even before the foundation of the world. Now, Ruth. Okay, yes, verse 6. Now go to verse 9. You will see this thing we just demonstrated. Verse 9. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, ye are witnesses. The witnesses must be there. Ye are witnesses, did they, that I have bought all. See, buying all here is not that he paid for something for himself. Oh. What he's saying here, the penalty, the ransom for that freedom. Look at it. That I have bought all. Did he say some? Did he say some here? Yeah? I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Shiloh and Malon of the hand of Naomi. What statement did Jesus Christ make in John 19:30? Look, compare that statement. Oh, it means the devil has no right over a believer who knows his redemption anymore. You are not clapping because you have not yet got it. He told them, Boaz is Jesus Christ. Is God himself coming in person of Jesus as a man to pay the price. He said, I have bought all. Jesus Christ is making the final statement here. After he has finished, he said, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. The penalty, the wrath of God that's supposed to be upon you for the sin that Adam committed, even the one you have been committing since you were born, he atoned for it. He said, it is finished. Your redemption is complete. He said, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Since has left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. As snow, he did not remain any small. He paid with his blood. He paid with his blood. Total payment. You catch this revelation, in spirit wife is disturbing you. Abba! Spirit husband is disturbing you. Spirit wife is disturbing you. Do you know? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 to 19. Do you know what your redemption cost God? The payment is his life. Somewhere we just say blood. The blood we are talking about. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. He said, the life of the flesh is what? Your life is where? In the blood. He said, I've given to you upon the altar to make appointment to the soul. For your soul to be redeemed, blood must be offered. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. Your redemption. Get the understanding. You will enjoy the Christianity. Get the understanding of your redemption. The devil is under your control. For as much, pay attention. You know. You should know. But it's unfortunate many don't know. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed. You were not redeemed with billions of naira. You were not redeemed with properties, houses. That was what those men, they didn't ask for that. They said, your life. Look at this. As silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by the tradition from your father. By what are we redeemed? Verse 19. But with what? With the precious blood of Christ, as of lamb without blemish and without spot. And without what? Spot. That was why John saw him, John 1:29. He said, behold the lamb. No sin in him. He that knew no sin. He knew no sin. They searched him even before there was no sin. But for because he saw you, he saw me. So that we'll be able to fulfill. We'll be able to fulfill that assignment. That assignment, that man, they give it to us. So that the purpose of God for bringing us cannot be defeated. He had to come. He had to come. Precious blood. The blood that is offered is his life. If they ask you, how are you redeemed? I am redeemed by the life of God. My redemption cost God his life. It cost God his life. God has to come and die. They may ask, how can God die? See how he died. He came in the person of Jesus. He died. For you to do what? For you to reign. Finally, it's on redemption. Revelation 5:10. The same thing that you were originally created for to do. After he has paid the price. See, that Revelation chapter 5, verse 10. Look at it. After he has, if you read it from verse 1, you saw how he paid it. When the elders were crying, helpless. After he paid it, as now, see the position. See where we are. If you have done the provision and has made us unto our God. Unto our God. What? Kings and priests. And we shall reign where? And we shall then where? And we shall then where? On earth. That was what Adam was supposed to do. To bring us here and we reign as sons and daughters of God on this earth. But devil thought he could defeat the purpose of God. He cut short the assignment. Redemption came. God by himself came in his son and paid the price of our redemption. And he has redeemed us. Put your hands together for the Lord. We have been redeemed. We have been redeemed. We are kings. We, God's willing. That is the essence of our redemption. God's willing. If God permits, we will look at the purpose for God's redeeming us. We will look at it, hopefully, next time I have opportunity. We will look at the purpose of that redemption. It did not just redeem you for nothing. There is a purpose. You must know it. The essence of it, your relationship with God and with his brethren. If you know it, we will enjoy Christianity. We will enjoy Christianity. God bless you. Bow down your hands and begin to appreciate God if you have been blessed.